Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, initial 53 is out. I got 47 of 53. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it is good.
Brian?
Sorry, I
got 47 of 53 right.
That's fair.
Give me my flowers.
Fair?
That's great. Good. That's elite. I have no idea.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Stroud, Mills, your two quarterbacks. Akers, Mixon, Pierce, Dare, British Bulldog, Brooks. That's the only surprise there, right? Mm-hmm. There's 7 receivers. Diggs, Woods, Tank, Mechie, Collins, Hutchinson, Sims. Which, let's see if that actually holds true. Let's see if Sims keeps the job.
I don't think
that's a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think that changes in the next 48 hours.
7? Yeah. And then maybe they designate a practice squad, clear waivers, that sort of thing. Tight end, Brevin, Schultz, Stover, no surprise. Offensive line, Kendrick Green, Patterson, Fisher, Broker, Mason, Scruggs, Howard, Kenyon Green, Tunsil. No surprise on the offensive line. Defensive line, Will Anderson, Jerry Hughes, Daniil Hunter, Foley, Khalil Davis, Derek Barnett, Mario Edwards Jr., Tim Settle Jr. No real surprise there other than maybe Harris, the rookie that they liked. Now, he's got to clear waivers. They want him on the practice squad. And then Heinisch starts on the IR. I didn't even know he was hurt. Defensive backs, Petrie, Okuda, Lassiter, Chris Boyd. I thought he was going to get cut because he got hurt. Ward, Murray, Stingley, Stewart, Miles Bryan, Kalen Bullock. No surprise. And then linebackers, Alshire, Deshaun Phillips. That's what I missed. Jake Henson, Henry Toto, Nevelle Hewitt, Jamal Hill, and then Townsend, Fairbairn Weeks. It's pretty close to what we thought.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
It is. I mean, again, receiver room is something that was a bit surprising. I didn't know what they were going to do with Settle because we haven't seen him.
Yeah, I thought they were going to actually, and they still might, make the 53 and then move him to IR, which they still might.
They still might
do that because, yeah, he hasn't played
much.
You still
feeling like 2 or 3 moves coming?
Yeah, I am.
I am too, for sure. I think I was at 2, and based on what they've already done, I got to believe that there's more than that. I got to believe it's 3 or 4.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see. Keep track of it. We'll have our eyes all over it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is your level of sweat from 1 to 10 on the race in the AL West? 713-780-3776. What is your level of sweat, Ed Blankers?
It has gone up to where I am starting to now go to probably a 5. I obviously watching every night what the Mariners do, no matter what the Astros do, and when the Astros are lesser than and they've lost some of the games that they've lost, it's nice to have seen the Mariners kind of did you solid and they lost too. But now the Mariners won again last night. You're losing. You still have the rest of this road trip where you're facing tougher opponents. That's why I am fine with and really love the fact that they went out and got Naris first, and now they're getting a Jason Hayward, and they even got a Ben Gamble, which I wasn't sure what you were going to get from him. He's already contributed. But the fact that they realized that, hey, as much as we've all kind of acted like it's almost a foregone conclusion when they got up 5 games and you were thinking that this is their division and now it's just a matter of if the Mariners can get in by chasing a wild card. Now they're getting closer in your rearview mirror every single day to where I do have a level of concern because if they start to warm up, they went out and made some moves too to try and improve their offense, but their pitching is so damn good that you have to respect it.
Yeah, your pitching's been good too, though.
Yeah, it has.
So there is that. Now, my sweat level is probably at a 7. Like, I mean, it's a 3.5 game lead with 30-something games to play. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, a lot can happen. Like, there's 31 games left, you have a 3.5 game lead. That's not that big of a lead. You also play a series against Seattle. So, yeah. Like, that also could close the gap in a hurry. Whenever you, you know, if you were to lose the games against Seattle, lose the series, and then, you know, you don't want to say it, but if you got swept by the Mariners. Now, the good news is that series is at home, and it's the second to last series of the year. So, like, that series is going to be pretty significant, it seems like. See, I would have my level of sweat at, like, a 7. Like, this offense can go cold for a couple of weeks. Like, would that stun you if this offense goes cold for a couple of weeks, and if you play 13 games, you go, you know, 4-9, 5-8? Like, that's in play.
It absolutely is in play. And we start thinking about, and we think back, yeah, it was great that they went on the run that they went on. But remember, as we were talking about it just a few short weeks ago, about the fact that we weren't getting any power from Yiner. We weren't seeing any power from Altuve. We were, you know, seeing the guys in the top part of the lineup and other guys that had to kind of fill in the top part of the lineup starting to question about not only the bottom part of the order, but who were going to fill in at the top of the order, because the offense had been so hit or miss and it was missing pretty consistently. You can fall off yet again. You're right. The pitching from top to bottom has been really, really good. But you have to put runs on the board, and that's exactly what the Mariners have struggled with. It's been nice during this hot streak where you've been putting runs on the board, and I granted you're playing better competition, but you just have to be better offensively for the short and the long haul for me to feel better about this team's chances to win the division.
Yeah, it's been too spotty. It's been too spotty. And 31 games, and you still don't have Tucker back? Like that's not great news either. I'd feel safer, obviously, if you had a better record than the third wild card, which you're still 2 games back there. You're 2 games behind Minnesota. Minnesota 72-59. You're 70-61. And then one thing that I think we kind of overlook, because the Astros are in a dogfight in the division, I don't want to play in a wild card series.
No, I don't either.
Your season can be over like that. 2 games like that. You run into 2 good pitchers, 2 days, season is over. So I hate the fact that right now the Astros would be the wild card team, and you trail that by 4.5 games. You're 4.5 behind Cleveland. So 31 left, you're 4.5 behind Cleveland. Doesn't feel like getting a top 2 spot is very, you know, high probability right now. You would be out of the wild card if Seattle caught you. Like, you would be out of the wild card, which also you don't have a safety net there. So, yeah, I'm not too comfortable where the Astros are. And I mean, my sweat level is at a 7.
Yeah, I just felt like too many people were getting too comfortable in the fact that it was a foregone conclusion they were going to win the division, too. And I just, you know, I never felt that comfortable and at ease with it. But when you look at it, too, the other thing is that you think about how Yordan's been so much better on the road than at home. I was like, even if they, you know, get a home series to play that extra series, there's no guarantees you get out of that home series based on how they played.
Yeah. I mean, win those close games that you've been in, not yesterday, but like the ones you had, maybe yesterday, you had a 2-0 lead.
The 2 in Baltimore.
Yeah, maybe take 2 of those 3. Like, you blew 2 games in Baltimore. Yesterday was maybe a little bit easier to swallow because it was Wheeler versus Blanco and, like, you know, it was tied after the middle innings. But take 2 of those games and you all of a sudden would be tied with Minnesota. You'd only be 3.5 games back of Cleveland, or 2.5 games back of Cleveland, and you would have a 5.5 game lead in the division. But you didn't. So, like, the fact that you haven't, and I know that they're tough opponents, but so what? That's baseball. The fact that you haven't been able to keep your foot on the gas and win those tight games has allowed this division lead to get closer than what it could be. It could very easily be 5.5 games. Very easily.
Seattle still faces their tough stretch coming up in their schedule down the stretch. They've got a gap where they're going to play some of the teams like the Astros are playing now, but you can't rely on that. You have to take care of your business. You just mentioned the 2 games in Baltimore kill me. You know, they gave away the opener of the White Sox series at home. They let get away. They should have won the game in Arlington, the opener of the Arlington series. They blew that one. So it's not just that you're losing the close games, because I'll live with what happened last night. It's the fact that you've given away a handful of games yet again in this season, right when you can't afford to be giving away games because it's not over between you and the Mariners.
Yeah, Astros, of course, have the final 2 games against Philly, then Kansas City to end the month of August, and then 1 game into September. Cincinnati in a 3-game, 4-day series, which is weird. They have like a rare day off. Arizona, Oakland, at Anaheim, at San Diego, home for Anaheim. Yes, I'm doing that on purpose. Home for Seattle, and then at Cleveland. Like, you wrap up the season at Cleveland, who's currently above you, which might have some ties depending on what things look like. Seattle finishes up their series against Tampa. They go to a bad Anaheim team, bad Oakland team, at St. Louis, home for San Diego, home for Texas, home for the Yankees, at Texas, at Houston, home for the Athletics. The Seattle Mariners schedule, at least easier. To my eyes, is much easier.
Much easier. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they got the Yankees mixed in there, and you got to believe the Astros are going to give them, you know, a battle too. But, yeah, I mean, you can't have anything that kind of fluctuates too greatly between now and then. You'd like to have a 4 or 5 game lead when you get into that series with Seattle for sure.
4-4-9-2, no sweat. Astros win by double digits.
Okay. Oh, come on.
Some confidence there. My level of sweat in the race contains no salt. 0. Lame. 8-6-9-3, by the end of the KC series, if they add to the current division lead, I'll be comfortable. If they lose more ground, then I'll be concerned. I mean, you can say that about anything. I agree with Blankers. We got a harder schedule and a lot of questions. Sweat level is at a 5. Winner of the series between Seattle and Houston will be the ones that win the division. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Hopefully you have a 7-game lead before that series. Not that big of a lead, but the Astros are still playing better ball than them. I still like our chances. I'm sweating at an 8. I've been worried about this section of games since before the All-Star break. For the rest of the season, the Astros have 18 games against playoff-caliber teams, while the Mariners only have 8. Not ideal. 8-3-4-1, Houston's got to win the division to get to the playoffs. And then Houston's remaining games, more teams over 500 than Seattle. Brian, where are you at? Mine's at a 7, Blanker's at a 5.
Yeah, I'm right about a 7, 7.5. I could maybe be talked up to 8. It's more about the schedule coming up, because as you guys mentioned, after this series that the Mariners have a home against the Rays, which they should be favored in those games, they're at home. They got 7 games coming up against the Angels and the Athletics. I mean, that's a tough stretch to... It's more than just the games on the schedule. I mean, I think it's the optics, too. If the Mariners chase you down and by the end of that 7-game stretch, they've suddenly taken the division lead, it's more than just being maybe a game or two up. It's what it does to your head. Like, we had this 5-game lead. We thought it was over. We thought we put the Mariners in a rearview mirror, and all of a sudden they're back in front. And that'd be tough to shake, tough to overcome mentally, I think. So I'm about a 7 or 8. I think the Astros are the better team. I still don't trust the Mariners' offense, but this schedule could create some difficulties.
That's where I'm at, too, the schedule. If you played identical schedules, I'd probably be at a 5, but the schedule part of it, give me a 7. Kenny, I need Hayward to start juicing like another guy possibly did in his last season. Not like a positive test is going to be reported between now and the end of the postseason. I'm just saying, I don't disagree. And even if he got popped, okay, it's an easy release. You probably sign him for the league minimum. Yeah, Jason Hayward, start juicing to the gills.
He's a workout freak too, so I'm sure he has people.
What do you have to lose? I mean, Hayward might have his reputation and his career to lose, but what do the Astros have to lose? Nothing. Nothing.
No.
Hayward, his reputation, I mean, obviously that's important to him.
So we've established Branham is pro-bounty gate and pro-steroids.
Yeah. And I'm pro-hitting a quarterback in the ear hole to knock him out of a playoff game. Yes. Yes. What is wrong? Like, I want to win. Do you guys not like winning? Y'all don't like winning?
Y'all don't like winning?
Would you juice if you could make, okay, let's say you could multiply your yearly earnings by 10. Would you juice?
For how long?
For the rest of your professional career.
I don't think so.
Absolutely, I would.
No way.
Yeah, I would definitely.
No doubt. 10 times more? 10
not
times?
If you don't know. You don't know the long-term ramifications of all that.
Well, I would pay a doctor handsomly to...
And you'd have the money to do so.
Yeah. 10 times more? No doubt I would juice.
Did you see, by the way, was it earlier this week, A-Rod put out some, like, he was putting out, like, someone interviewed him on the keys to hitting as many home runs as he did, and he was going over all these things, and Canseco responded and said, oh, you're leaving out one thing, those weekly injections you were getting. Yeah.
Steroids are a hell of a drug. All right, I'm worried about the San Francisco 49ers. So much drama going on in San Fran. Is it going to get in the way of their goals? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, a word right now for MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the place you need to be if you want to put money down on sports, because they're always taking care of their customers. They take care of you in a variety of ways, and they give everything to you at the convenience of their website so that it's all just one stop. You get there, you can take care of all your business. You can put your money down. You can do your in-game betting. You can chat with other like-minded gamblers like yourself. You can keep in touch with everything that's going on with all the scores and all the games and all the action. And then on top of that, they take care of you when you use our promo code BET975. It's fantastic. They're doing it again as we lead into football season. And that means that when you sign up at mybookie.ag with an account, they're going to ask you if you have a promo code. When you put in BET975, you can get a bonus up to $1,000 depending on what you put in your account. No matter what you put in your account, they'll put the bonus on top of it. You'll see it instantly. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. It's absolutely fantastic. And they are literally the best in the business. They've been in business for over a decade. They take care of you and your money, and they always make sure that they have your interests at the top of their list. Outstanding in the way that they do it, and it's so much so that if you want to get your gamble on and you don't want to fly to Vegas, you don't want to drive to Louisiana, and maybe there's no sports going on at all, live dealers are now standing by so you can play casino games right from the comfort of your own home, on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, on your computer. Absolutely fantastic. Just another way they're looking to take care of the customer. Check them out today. Go to mybookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975 and start reaping the benefits. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. But the only place I tell you to do it is mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is there symbolism to this music? I feel like there should be. I feel like there is.
It's just that Oasis is back.
They're back?
Yeah, that was the news today. They're actually going on tour. The brothers made up, and they're going on tour, I believe, later this year or next year.
I knew that there was some subliminal messaging here with
there's
that
no,
rejoin.
Nothing subliminal, just like Oasis.
I mean, it's a little pop culture reference.
Well,
it's a little bit of an Easter egg.
Okay, I guess that's true. You would have to know their music and know that they've broken up and got back together.
That's an Easter egg.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Easter egg. That's fair.
There are people that when they are passionate about how much they love Oasis.
It's a good band.
Was it the play-by-play guy for the Orioles?
Yeah, Kevin Brown.
Yeah,
he's good friend of mine.
Yeah. All those are great.
I know.
I'm saying Paul Molson too, right?
They were classmates at Syracuse.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good against the Astros. I hear that they had Johnson. Wonderwall, yep. Best Oasis song, you think?
It's good. I would go Don't Look Back in Anger.
That's my favorite.
That's
Champagne
my favorite.
Supernova, probably.
Yeah, it's also good.
High on somebody's
list. Champagne
Supernova
is fantastic.
They're good. I didn't know they were getting back together.
Yeah, the brothers hated each other, wouldn't talk to each other for decade or more, but yeah, they got apparently buried the hatchet enough to go on tour.
Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Rodgers singing
exactly,
Oasis
exactly.
Together. I'm worried about San Francisco, man. Trent Williams, he's willing to hold out into the season if he doesn't get a contract that he wants. That dang Laremy Tunsil ruining the San Francisco 49ers. I think Brandon Ayuk has unrealistic expectations. I think he wants $30 million a year, and they're looking at receivers that are making $30 million a year, and they're saying, Ayuk, you ain't that. You ain't in that tier. So what's going to happen with Ayuk? I think they'd be better off trading him at this point. So I'm a little worried about San Francisco. All of this drama usually does not end well, Blinkers.
No, and I always question, Jeremy, the fact that it's one thing if you've got one guy that's holding out, and even then I always wonder, no matter how much they're working out on their own, like, how good are they going to be, and how long is it going to take for them to be able to – you can't just plug them and play them and expect them to play at the level they played at for the last year of their career before they missed all of training camp, all of the contact, everything that goes with it, to where it's a concern, especially when it's a position like left tackle. But now you're talking about your premier receiver and your left tackle in an offense that's predicated on doing everything with Shanahan to score points and have the versatility with Christian McCaffrey as well. But you're going to need the passing game, and you're going to need to be protected. And so there's reason to be concerned if you're a Niner fan, because two really key cogs in your offense you're hoping be ready for week one and come back. And if they don't, it really kind of puts you in a predicament early in the season. I'm with you. At this point, I would trade Ayuk because I don't know what he's going to be. And if he's asking for that much money, at least I know that I can get something back for him. It would be nice if you could get a receiver that could play right away because of how important all the receivers are in that offense. But yeah, I mean, Trent Williams, no matter what age he is, there's not a whole lot of people that won't say that he's the best left tackle in football.
Yeah, it's a weird situation in San Francisco with what they have going on. Doesn't it feel like the Ayuk stuff is just at a stalemate on two different fronts? Like, I feel like it's at a stalemate in terms of a contract extension with San Francisco, and then I think it's a stalemate either in parameters of what a trade looks like or Ayuk negotiating with the other team. Like, if the Steelers have a trade done for Ayuk, and the 49ers have agreed to the terms, But Ayuk's demanding too much money that the Steelers are not comfortable giving, or maybe it's the Commanders or a mystery team like the Patriots. It feels like there's a stalemate in more than one front when it comes to that.
The other thing that to me that it feels like is that John Lynch isn't willing to let go, because when they do get these deals kind of worked out, he suddenly, you know, a day passes and suddenly he goes, no, we really want him back on our squad. And I just feel like at a certain point, you got to make a business decision and realize, hey, look, you know what? If he wants too much money, or you just don't see the fit long term, then if you already know what you're getting and you're good with it from another team or multiple teams, then go get it. And I think the time to have done that has already passed. I think they should have done that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the issue, though, because John Lynch hasn't like been a guy who's known to hold on to his draft picks too long. Like, he traded Trey Lance. They got rid of Trey Lance whenever they traded up to get Trey Lance. So I feel like he's comfortable cutting ties with the player if it makes sense. I don't think it's the Niners that are holding this out. Maybe they're trying to ask for more, but I think it's more Ayuk's contract demands. It could be with multiple teams, because if you're the Steelers, Commanders, Patriots, and you have a trade in place for Ayuk, you're not making that trade until you get a contract done with Ayuk. So I think it's Ayuk's demand that's holding this whole thing hostage.
Unless you're Bill O'Brien. But, yeah, no, I think the fact is Trey Lance is a bad example because he couldn't play football. They just didn't believe in him, his ability to play football. Ayuk can play football. They just, if you were going to get a couple weeks ago, if you could have gotten Amari Cooper, you could have gotten a guy as well and as part of the deal, so that for this season you don't take a step back, then you have to think long and hard about the fact that, hey, I can do this right now. My football team for the coming season is not going to take, I don't think, a very big hit. And then I'll move on and I'll reestablish and renegotiate everything, or look at everything at the end of the year.
But how do you know they haven't done that? Because they could have done that, but Ayuk's saying, no, I want $30 million a year in Pittsburgh, Washington, New England. Well, like, we're not giving you $30 million a year. So it might not be San Francisco that's holding this whole thing up.
I think the one problem is that CeeDee Lamb signed too, because now you got more ammunition from the Ayuk camp.
See, he's not in that tier, though.
But you don't know that he's not asking for that kind of money, saying, hey, I'm a receiver that's up, that can put up big numbers. I'm looking for that kind of deal. And if you're not gonna balk at that and say, you know, you're going to come back down off that stance, that could put everything in a stalemate too. But there's no time to lose anymore. They got to get something done one way or the other. They either got to, you know, figure out some way to get him done. But the trade that you make now, it's going to be tough to get a guy implemented.
But if he's demanding $30 million a year and you're like, we're not giving you $30 million a year, you're saying they should budge and give him $30 million a year?
No, I said that you should still get a trade done. But, I mean, now I don't know what teams are going to be. Everybody's ready to go for the regular season. I don't know how many teams now are still going to be willing to give you players off their roster right now.
I think it's way easier said than done. Like, I think if San Francisco could have unloaded him for a package that they liked, and Ayuk was willing to sign a contract with the team that traded for his rights that he and the team liked, I think it'd be done.
But didn't he balk at it? Was it New England or one of the teams where it was basically done, and then he decided he didn't want to play for New England?
Yeah. So then how is San Francisco going to be able to make a trade?
I mean, he doesn't have a no-trade, does he?
No, but again, a team's not going to trade with them if they don't get an extension done.
I don't think this is waiting on San Francisco.
No, I think it's waiting on
Ayuk. Waiting on Brandon Ayuk. I mean, not only the contract demands, but also waiting on – it seems like he keeps having second thoughts about taking trades to these crappy teams that can't compete this year. And then going back to San Francisco, you hear the talks about, oh, negotiations have resumed, they're talking again. I think he gets cold feet when they're about to pull the trigger, because every report I read was that the deal's done on the table for the Steelers and the Niners. It's just waiting the final sign off on Ayuk, and he doesn't seem to want to give that final sign off.
I think it's $30 million a year, and no one wants to give him $30 million a year. I think that's what it is.
Could be. That's not what I've read, but it could be. I mean, we're all guessing at this point.
Sure. But I don't think San Francisco's the roadblock. And, like, the urgency for San Francisco to get it done, it's not in their hands. It's out of their hands, I think. Key from L.A., the NFC West is the Rams' year. Key from L.A., let's make a wager on that. I'd be happy to make a listener wager with you. We'd have to hold the stakes in escrow.
Yeah.
8532, how nervous would Texan fans be if AU goes to the Colts? Not much, because Anthony Richardson couldn't hit Richardson couldn't hit water if he fell off a boat.
And I'm out on IU this year anyway, so it wouldn't even matter for this season.
Keith, got to think the Niners will sign someone that got cut today and then trade AU. Maybe they try and go get Noah Brown. Perhaps, but I mean, you still have Debo. They drafted Pearsall, even though he's got some shoulder pains. They have this other, like the counting kid or crowning kid that apparently they really like, that's very, very small.
Juwan Jennings still.
Yeah, Jennings still around. Yep. They run a lot of, you know, they have Kittle.
Yeah.
They have Christian McCaffrey.
Draft Kittle in fantasy.
Yeah, perhaps. 5'6", 6'7", Branham is going to go into women's boxing to win two. If the money's good, If the money's good, although those women would knock my brains out. They would destroy me. Women. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get to cash it or trash it. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Did you know the Red Bull show run is coming to Houston September 7th? It is coming, and it is coming fast. That's what F1 does. I can't wait. I love F1, and I'm fired up about the Red Bull show run. It's also free to all ages. That might be the best part, thanks to Red Bull. Red Bull bringing F1 to Houston September 7th in the heart of downtown Houston at Discovery Green. See championship-winning F1 cars doing sprints, burnouts, and much, much more around Discovery Green on a custom-build racetrack. This will be the first time ever in the U.S. where you can witness dual appearances with two championship-winning F1 cars. Unique one-day-only pop-up exhibition showing the high-octane power of Red Bull's racing teams. A Red Bull show runs a chance to see the sport of Formula One racing up close exhibition style. It's a chance to see championship-winning F1 cars take to the streets around Discovery Green to experience just how fast and powerful these vehicles can be. One-day pop-up showcases the sights and sounds and engine-starting chills of Formula One racing. In addition to that, the Red Bull Fan Zone, local food vendors, all the Red Bull racing merchandise, racing simulators, free activities for racing fans of all ages that will introduce you to the exciting world of Red Bull. Single day admission free event open to anyone and everyone. Tickets are not required. Bring the family for a day of F1 fun. RedBull.com/showrunHouston. RedBull.com/showrunHouston. All day September 7th in downtown Houston at Discovery Green.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bee.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
It is true. Muhammad Ali never fought Cassius Clay. 713-780-3776. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? What are your hot takes? Your overreaction? 713-780-ESPN. Lakers, what you got?
Hector Neris is already your sixth inning guy. And Hector Neris is obviously your seventh inning guy until Presley goes away, but he has already solidified himself with Joe Espada as the sixth inning guy the rest of the season.
Yesterday Caleb Ort pitched a more high leverage inning than he did.
Okay, because I'm going to say I'm not going to take away from the other guys being used situationally, but I think that they've already shown the way that they've already force fed us enough of Caleb Ferguson, but they love Hector Neris so much that I think he's already going to be above Taylor Scott in terms of the sixth inning?
It's case by case on the day who's available. I don't think so. I think they still have everyday Tay ahead of Hector Neris. Now, it depends on who's up. Like, they like Neris against lefties. I think they prefer Taylor Scott against righties. So it might be like kind of a platoon situation, whatever's up in the order. That's where I'm at on it. So, sixth inning's not a very
Because even what they did last night shows you how much they believe that, like, in high leverage situations, they believe he's the old Hector Neris. They're going to throw him out there.
But they also used Ort later in the game, and they used Brian King later in the game.
Yeah, later in the game, but in that situation, I don't think they would have used either guy. I think they went to a guy that, with the high leverage of it, that they believed in.
They went to a loogie, is what they did. They treated him as a left-handed, one-out guy.
Okay, but he got the job done in a high leverage situation, and the night before they used him exactly where they used to. I just believe that he's going to be they love that guy, and they're going to put him back in the situation.
So you have him over Scott.
Yep,
I'll trash it. I don't think they have him over Scott. I mean, yesterday they didn't even have him ahead of Ort.
We'll see how it plays.
I would not. I guess my first question: does really a quote unquote six inning guy exist? I mean, because mostly it's eight and nine are defined, and everything else feels situational.
I think it's kind of semantic, but I think Blankers is saying that he's the fourth most important.
Yeah. Well, and I would put Taylor Scott ahead of him. So really, you're saying
third. Right now he's third most important guy. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're off. I think you're off by one rung.
I'd put Taylor Scott, and then it'd be hitting Harris after
that. But, I think it's very, very close. And again, if you have three straight lefties coming up, or lefty-righty-lefty, I think they would prefer Neris than Scott. But if you have three straight tough righties, I think they would prefer the sidewinding Scott over Neris. So it's situational. So halfway yes, halfway no, halfway cash, halfway trash. Here's mine. NFL pros, like, hey, we want to play in the Summer Olympics with flag football. Flag football people, are you crazy? You don't know our sport. You can't play flag football as well as us flag footballers. You know what they should do? They should have a high-stakes winner represents the U.S. of A. in the Summer Olympics in L.A. in 2028. The NFL pros that want to play flag football, they go toe-to-toe in a pay-per-view event against the best USA flag football team. The winner represents dear old USA in the 2028 L.A. Summer Olympics.
I think this is called Pros versus Joes. This show's been done before.
I think the biggest problem is if you got guys under contract with NFL teams on multi-year deals, they're not going to risk injury.
Stop otherwise, letting that get in the way of a good game.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it because there have been even more. The whole back and forth is interesting. There's no way that these flag football guys are better than the NFL guys. I just, especially like 7-on-7s, when you're talking about just D-backs and wide receivers and things like that, it's ridiculous that the talk has gotten to this level. But it's also embarrassing the United States can't put their best flag football team out there because the pros aren't playing.
Yeah, I mean, you ripped the 3-on-3.
So I hated it.
Are you cashing or trashing the NFL pros versus the best USA flag football team in a winner-take-all?
I'll cash it.
Yeah. This is awesome.
I'd love to see it.
Me too. It'd be great.
I'm going to trash
great
it.
Great team.
Trash.
I'm going to
you
trash
don't like
it
to be entertained. You're boring.
I want to set up the storyline. Yeah, I want to set up the storyline of them losing in the Olympics. The first Olympics that flag football is in there. Them lose and then having to bring in the dream team the following Olympics. So give me the storyline. I'll go ahead and trash it.
Well, the worst storyline would be as if they lost to the flag football guys before the pros lost to the flag football guys in the competition, because that would really be embarrassing.
But it'd be highly entertaining.
Oh, no doubt.
It'd be
but I'm
highly
saying, as
entertaining.
As embarrassing as I felt the 3-on-3 was, it'd be more embarrassing if you not only didn't have pros in the Olympics, but that you lost to the flag football guys before you got to the Olympics.
The storyline of the schmoes or the Joes beating the pros be the greatest David and Goliath story in flag football history. Be the only story in flag
exactly
football
right
history.
I don't think it's been done before.
What do you got, Brian?
I'm going over to the world of the NFL. I've been looking at kind of some under the radar MVP candidates, guys that could get on the board that haven't been on the board before. And I think Jared Goff, I'm not predicting he's going to win the MVP. He's never even got a vote. I think he finishes top five in the MVP voting this year. And the reason why, you look at his schedule and you look at his splits, and it's drastic. And when he's playing at home, he's basically an MVP caliber quarterback if you just go by the stats. When he's on the road, he's a completely different guy. Just last year, and this pretty much carries out through the rest of his career, but in a dome, his completion percentage went up 7%. His quarterback rating went up from 82 to 108. His yards per game went up 24 yards. The touchdown interception ratio is so a lot better. And this year, 14 of their 17 games played indoors. Only 3 games for the Lions this year are played outdoors. So I think Jared Goff leads the league in passing, has a top 5 MVP finish, and Amon-Ra. Also, this one is a bonus. Amon-Ra St. Brown finishes the number one wide receiver
for
in fantasy
one
football.
Special.
You guys told me that last year.
2-for-1 special. He got hurt last year.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this. I'm going to trash this because I was
trash.
I was going to say that Aaron Rodgers gets more MVP votes than Jared Goff at the end of the year.
Wow.
Nah.
I think,
who wants to vote for Rodgers?
Doesn't matter.
That's part of it.
It doesn't
people
matter.
Love Rodgers.
No, it doesn't matter.
They?
Yeah, yeah.
Who
it's
loves
a big
Rodgers?
Story.
People love Rodgers,
and because
who?
He's in New York,
all his teammates.
Because he's in New
they're
York,
not voting.
He's going to get more. He's going to get more votes if it goes well for him.
I think Goff. I don't know. I mean,
the story would be with Goff though. Let's say they have an equal stat line, equal team success. People will be far more willing, to, I think, to vote for Goff than Rodgers.
I don't think so at all.
I don't the award that. 4 times.
Not in New York.
Rodgers in New York and a sexy name. Goff's kind of boring. Goff's kind of boring. Detroit's kind of boring.
I don't know. Everyone's loved the Lions the last.
No, I mean
years.
They're good and like they have a really good roster. But in terms of like you know. Pizzazz, like name on the marquee, like Detroit Lions, New York Jets. And you said if all things were equal. So, like, if they both go 12-5 and then the second team in their respective conferences, who do you want on the marquee? The Detroit Lions and Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets?
I think you could have said the same thing the year that Matt Ryan won MVP, though. I think people lock into the story. If Goff takes this huge spike up in his production. The Lions win total goes up. I think the story's there for him.
But I think that was last year. I think that if this would be the first year that they take the spike as a team, too, and they're now solidified on the scene and doing all these things, but because they had the season that they had a year ago, and a lot of people, I thought they should have beat the Niners, too. But now that they're on the scene, I don't think that he gets that extra kind of love that he got would have gotten a year ago.
We kind of like totally changed what your cash or trash was, which was Jared Goff MVP.
Top five MVP finish.
And then you threw in the bonus Amon Ra.
Yeah, number one wide receiver in football. In fantasy football.
I think Jared Goff's going to have a good year. I will cash that. I think he'll finish top five in MVP because it's a quarterback award. I'm going to trash the Amon Ra.
Trash.
I mean, you got CD. You got Tyreek Hill. What's Chase going to look like with Burrow being back? I still think Justin Jefferson's going to do numbers.
Have two of the three names even started practicing yet?
No, that doesn't matter. CD Lamb doesn't need practice.
We'll see if the hamstring pops up and they're trying to ramp up.
McCaffrey's going to get votes in the top five.
It depends on the year.
Okay.
If he misses four games, see ya.
Burrow, if he's CJ, we're talking about a lot of Lamar.
Yeah.
I just don't see Goff top five.
I mean, Brian's saying he's going to have a top five quarterback year to be top five MVP. I think it's in play. I mean, that team's loaded. Gibbs, LaPorta, Amon Ra. It might actually hurt the Amon Ra thing is that they're loaded elsewhere. You know, like they have a lot of mouths to feed. Mm-hmm. But that lineup, I mean, that.
Gibbs still hurt?
No, he's going to be back. They're expecting him back week one. Let's get to a few of the texters here. Turn the Pro Bowl week into the NFL player flag football training camp. Cash or trash?
Turn the Pro Bowl week into anything else other than what it's been, and I still don't think you help it, but okay, sure.
Soft cash.
Cash it. You can cash it, but I hate the Pro Bowl period.
Cash. Yeah, I'm cashing that. Give me a little bit of that. Cash or trash, Totino's is the best frozen... Okay, I'm combining words. Totino's is the best frozen pizza brand.
I haven't had a frozen pizza, and I can't even tell you how
Sick
long.
Sick brag.
No, I mean... I remember Totino's when I was a kid, but yeah,
it's the cheap one, the party pizza.
Is that the 99-cent one?
Yeah, yeah. And you can get I guess you can buy them individually, but they mostly come in those packs of four.
I haven't had a frozen pizza in forever either. DiGiorno's is probably better, but would I be lying if I said that I didn't buy Totino's more than the rest? Absolutely. I've had more Totino's frozen pizzas than any other frozen pizza brand.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Easily.
I would fold them in half.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Make it a little calzone. Cash or trash, Damian Pierce will outperform Joe Mixon this year.
Oh, trash that.
Trash.
Trash.
2-4-1-9.
On what team?
I think he means the Texans. Well, Alex Bregman being an Astro lifer.
I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it too. I think he's going to be on a different team next year. 0979, Tomlin, Russell Wilson, and the Pittsburgh Steelers going to the playoffs.
Trash it.
Trash.
Tomlin... maybe with a different quarterback, and they're still not going to the playoffs, but I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be the quarterback for very long.
They went to the playoffs with a quarterback last year that was worse than Russell Wilson.
They upgraded a quarterback.
Kenny Two Gloves? Yeah.
They upgraded a quarterback.
Kenny Pickett's way worse than Russell Wilson. They still won 10 games and got to the playoffs.
They might have two better quarterbacks than they had last year.
Playoffs this year.
Yeah, I don't think they make the playoffs, so I'll trash
them
as well. All right, that does it for Cash It or Trash It. Reed Sheppard's the betting favorite to win the Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Not so fast, like Lee Corso would say. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar, owned by my colleague, Go Coug, so you know it's in really good hands, hands that you can trust. Chris Fisher, another set of hands that you can trust. Business owners, let HR&P help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in one of those areas. They can help in all of those areas, whatever you need, because there's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. They're not going to give you three options. You're not reading off a menu. You're going to sit down with them, say, hey, okay, it needs a little bit of help here, maybe a little bit less help here, maybe way more help here. And they're going to do that for you. That way you can spend your time and resources back in areas you want to spend your time and resources. They also do it in a way that's unique. Technology and service. They have the best tech. Their tech is fantastic. Best in the game. But you're going to fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you, knows your business needs. Anytime I have a question, of course, we use HR&P here at Gal. Always a quick response. Always easy to understand. Give them a call now, 281 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannon.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Is this another Oasis song?
That is correct.
Are we doing this the rest of the show? This
no,
is
not
the thing
break.
Now?
Not every break.
You're a fan.
I'm a fan, yeah. They're not my favorite band, but I'm a fan.
What's your favorite band?
Green Day.
Don't have to go home.
But you don't, yeah, but you can't say here. That's a different band.
I think that was my class song. Did y'all have those?
What, Closing Time was
Closing
your...
Time was your class song.
I mean, it's a different band. It's not Oasis, but that's
it was Green Day.
It's not Green Day.
I thought it was Green Day.
No, Green Day is, you're thinking of Time of Your Life.
Oh, that's the one it was. Yeah. Time of Your Life was the our class song.
Yeah, that was, I think that was every high school graduating song for about 5 years straight after it came out.
Yeah, class of 03. Did you have a class song, bro?
Yeah, it was a semi-sonic song. I don't remember the... I can't even remember... Oh, it was... Actually, yeah, I don't remember the name of the song now off the top of my head. It wasn't one song.
What school
I liked,
did you go to?
Deer Park.
Okay. What Frank Sinatra song was yours, Blinkers?
Funny.
Reed Shepard's the favorite to win Rookie of the Year? I don't think so. I don't think the rookie...
Think
he's
going
to win the... I think he could be the best rookie. I think he could be the best rookie in the NBA. But why I don't think he's going to be the Rookie of the Year, I think you need volume. I think you're going to have to accumulate stats. And because Reed Shepard's on a pretty deep team, like the Rockets are actually pretty deep right now, I don't think he's going to lead the team in scoring. He's not obviously not going to lead the team in rebounds. He's not going to lead the team in assists. He might be the best rookie, but he's not going to collect the stats necessary to win Rookie of the Year.
I think even if you're not the best on your team, I think you have to have the amount of minutes to collect the kind of stats that it's going to take. I look at Chicago. I look at Bezelis, the guy that I like coming out. I think that Chicago's in a, whether they admit it or not, they're basically in a rebuild type situation, and he's going to get a ton of minutes. He's going to get every opportunity to put stats on the board. I think your point on Shepard is exactly where my head is at. It's like, look, Reed Shepard's going to be really good at a certain point in his career, and I think he's already going to be a big help to this team because he adds shooting. But how many minutes is he going to play a game based on how many guys they have that play similar positions? Whether he plays the point, whether he plays the two, wherever you want to get him to get minutes, he's going to be fighting with two and three young guys that are going to be based on who you're playing and what the kind of situation is with the tempo and the style the opponent plays too. It's going to matter.
Yeah, minutes, a lot of times, whoever has the most of them is going to win the Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
And like, at least the same ballpark. Like, you might have one guy who plays 31, another guy who plays 28, and that guy, obviously, who plays 28 can outproduce the guy who plays 31. But, like, if we're looking at Reed Shepard's minutes, I think he's going to have trouble getting on the floor early. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw this last year with Udoka. Like, he didn't play Amin Thompson that much early in the year, like first 10, 12 games. Like, Amin Thompson was barely playing. Cam Whitmore started in the G League.
Yep.
He wasn't even playing significant minutes until, like, the midway point of the year. So I think that Reed Shepard's going to have a tough time getting minutes on this team. Like, he's going to be behind Fred VanVleet, obviously. Is he getting point guard minutes? Is Amin Thompson getting point guard minutes? You have Jalen Green. You have Cam Whitmore. That's your backcourt. Like, Reed Shepard's going to have a tough time getting on the floor. And then you're saying that he has the best chance to win Rookie of the Year. I think it's terrible value. Terrible value.
I think you might think about, you know, who turns out to be the best out of this draft class.
Yeah.
Then there's an argument to be had that Reed Shepard could be the best pick that comes out of the lottery in this year's draft or this entire draft. But in terms of how it relates to and translates to Rookie of the Year this year, you know, the bigger thing too is when you start thinking about the fact that Tari Eason's back now. So Tari Eason's going to take minutes at the three. That bumps, if you wanted a men to start playing some minutes at the three or be more, you know, fluctuate between the one, two, and three, now you've got less minutes to be had at the small forward because Tari's going to take some of those. So some of the guys that you were trying to work into the 1-2 minutes, and because you still have Fred VanVleet, as you mentioned, Dylan Brooks, those are guys, even, you know, they're saying that the one guy that could be the odd man out is Holiday. I don't care about Holiday because he's getting money, and it's basically free money no matter what because he's not in the long-term plans. But with all the young guys trying to find different minutes at different positions too, it hurts Reed Shepard. Because he's a 1-2. He's not big enough to play the 3 in this league. But his 1-2 minutes are going to be affected by if guys can't get to the 3 to get some extra minutes or can't, you know, get minutes as they move around. I don't think it's about his ability. It's no slap in his face. It's about the team he's on and how many young players he has that he's got to push through to play the positions he plays.
That's where I'm at with this. And you asked the question, like, okay, well, then who? I don't have a good feel of it. Like, I don't know what minutes are going to look like for some of these players. Like, is Rissa Share? What is his minute total going to look like for Atlanta?
I think one and two are out.
I think you don't think he'll play?
I think the top two picks in the draft, even if they play, I don't think they're ready enough to play in the NBA and polished enough. Mm-hmm. But I don't consider either one of those guys in the conversation for rookie.
I think Castle's too defensive-oriented. I don't think he's going to have the offensive numbers to like contend for rookie of the year. Holland, like, I don't know how much he's going to play in Detroit.
Castle's now in Minnesota, right?
Oh, they traded him.
He was drafted on draft night. Now he's playing behind veterans on a team that's trying to win right now, and I just don't know if they're going to have a spot for him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's on San Antonio. He's with the Spurs. Castle.
I swear the Spurs traded him on draft night.
No, okay. he's a Spur.
Who would they take at eight?
The
Spurs.
Oh, I clicked on.
Didn't they have four and eight? Because if they had four and eight, one of their picks
Dillingham. He was traded to Minnesota.
Okay, there you go.
Dillingham was traded to Minnesota. Like, Dillingham, okay. Like, he's a guy who has offensive prowess, but good luck getting a lot of offensive prowess with Anthony Edwards.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a great option for rookie of the year. You said you like Bozelas?
Yeah, I think Bozelas in Chicago because of the fact that even if you like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan type guys, you know, that they've had in the past and that they're, you know, they've been trying to move, regardless of whether they stay or go or who they have as veterans, they're in a soft rebuild. And this kid is from Chicago. He's going to be a hometown favorite. Everybody wants to see him play, and he's going to get all the minutes in the world to try and put points and rebounds on the board.
You can get good value there, plus 1,000. You don't think Rissa Share is going to get minutes?
He'll get some minutes. I just don't know what he's going to do with them.
Early returns are that
he needs to really strengthen up, and his shot's not very good.
You can get him at plus 1,000 some places. Like, you can get the number one pick to win Rookie of the Year at plus 1,000 some places. That seems like good value, too.
The big kid in Portland's going to get run because even if they
– Klingon?
Klingon's going to play next to Ayton sometimes. And because they're so young and they don't have the talent the Rockets have with some of their young guys, up front, Klingon's going to get a lot of run.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a great NBA player. I think he could be serviceable, but I think for Rookie of the Year, he'll get a lot of minutes.
I think he's like Isaiah Hartenstein. That's kind of my comp for him.
You make 27 a year, you're doing all right.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think he's got a place in the league. I don't think he's going to be like the, you know, highlight of this draft. How about Zach Edey?
He's interesting to me because some people say he's Taco Fall, and just because of his size, he could find situational minutes on the floor.
That's not fair. That's insulting.
And other people say that, you know, he can be a poor man's Yao Ming. I don't see either one of them, but I just don't know with a Memphis team that likes to play up-tempo so much how many minutes they're going to have for him with Ja Morant playing, running the ball.
Yeah, Edie's the second favorite after Shepard. Edie has way too much offense again to call him Taco Fall. Like, Taco Fall has zero offensive moves. Zach Edey has tons of offensive moves.
Yeah. He also has to get that shot off against NBA players and stronger
men. He's tall.
I just think the key, too, is going to be, like I said, the tempo of the game and the way Memphis wants to play. It doesn't fit. It's not conducive to him getting the touches in the post and doing something with them.
Yeah, I agree with that part. I don't think that he's a... You know, I mean, they're going to have stuff run for him, but they want to get out and run. Maybe when you stop him in the half court. I don't think he's have a problem getting a shot off, though. Like, he's 7'4", and he's wide, so you can get to that right hand pretty easily, I think.
Yeah, and my point on Bozelas is, too, DeRozan was traded to – I mean, he ended up going to Sacramento, signing in Sacramento, but they're still trying to move Zach LaVine. And even if Zach LaVine controls the ball, I think that there's room for a wing that can get the ball, and I think that Bozelas is long and rangy. He'll get blocks. He'll get some rebounds. He'll finish around the basket a little bit, but I think that he's going to get a ton of minutes.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Big C yesterday said that the Golden Age will end in 1 to 3 years. Get ready for cheap tickets again. You're wrong, Big C. The Astros window is not close to closing. That's next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.